Hello, everybody. I'm Brian.
And I'm Brian.
And this is Brian vs. Brian, episode 246. The Last of Us. Season 2. I think that's what they call it.
Season 2, part 1.
Yeah, season 2, part 1. Yeah, this is the first thing we ever reviewed was the game, right?
Yeah,
the Last of Us.
Episode
part
1,
two.
Yeah. Last of Us.
In 2020, and now here we are, 5 years later, reviewing the show. It's a bit of a serendipitous, pooly-peepy moment.
Yeah. Who would have thought? I never in a million years, 5 years ago, thought that this would be a popular HBO show, let alone just a show in general. So it's kind of wild.
Yeah. Yeah, this released April 13th through May 25th, 2025. Yeah, season two. So this was greenlit, 2 weeks after the series premiered in 23. This one, 13% increase on season premiere viewership from season one. So people got hooked.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine there's a lot of people that didn't play the game, so they kind of just thought it was a really cool zombie show, which it is.
Yeah.
And so that's really cool, bring in those people.
And I'm wondering if some of those viewers that played the game that maybe were just like, the show's, I don't like Bella Ramsey, they checked out of season one, wanted to return to season two for a very important moment to see how they would handle that moment. I imagine that some of those people kind of came along to see how they would do it. So I'm sure there's probably some of that too.
Yeah. Yeah, because the people that didn't play the game were in for a rude awakening.
Yes.
A big surprise. I love watching the, Pedro Pascal's a sex symbol. And I love the reaction videos of women. It'll usually be like a boyfriend filming their girlfriend.
Pascal.
Watching the show. Oh my God! No! They're all crying and shit. Oh, it's so funny. So, yep. So, we start. This is years after the first game, right? And they're living in, what the hell's their town called?
Jackson.
With Tommy, and this huge established town, man, with power and giant walls and fucking houses and shops and markets, and it's just really put together. I don't think we see another town as put together as this in all of the lore of The Last of Us.
No, this is the most close to society as we get in the games.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's a couple years later. 5 years later, okay. Yeah, so they're living there. And then this, something new to this is Joel's psychotherapist, Gail. That wasn't in the games.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a easy way to get some insight into what Joel's feeling, because it's you're not Joel, because this is not a video game.
Yeah,
you're watching Joel, so it gives a bit more way to convey emotions and important plot points, dialogue. And I didn't mind her. So what's that? The actress is really good.
Oh, Catherine O'Hara. She's fantastic.
Yeah,
love her. Yeah.
So it was awesome having her in here. Up.
A weed smoking vulgar therapist, which I appreciated. Typically, she's kind of lighthearted. She's kind of goofy. Well, roles she takes, but it was kind of cool to see her kind of, not that she's unleashed or anything. She's not that awful, but she's just kind of laid back, pot smoking, alcoholic.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good.
So I guess we'll just kind of go through the episodes here. I got kind of
I need some help. Like you said, aired in April, so it's been a minute.
So, first episode is the future days, 5 years after Joel kills 19 fireflies at a hospital and rescues Ellie. They live in Jackson. And then we get introduced to Gail. Gail, during one of the sessions in this first episode, admits a resentment towards Joel for killing her husband, which we find out more later. And Joel expresses his sadness concerning Ellie and confesses that he saved her, though he omits the murders. Probably omit that part. Well, I mean, she knows you murdered her husband. I mean, how bad would it be to murder 19 people she doesn't know? She probably wouldn't care. You know?
Well, it's the cure part that people would care about, not
Yeah,
necessarily the Oh, I should probably now that now that you're talking about episode one, it's kind of coming back to me, but one of the biggest changes from the fucking word go, the moment the show starts, is that we're introduced to a new character named Abby, which does not happen in the game. I believe episode one, it's the very first opening scene is Abby and a group of
Oh, yeah.
fireflies standing at a graveyard looking at, they're kind of just taking in the aftermath of what Joel did. And they come up with a plan to find where Joel is and kill him. That does not happen in the game. We do not see Abby till way later. So that was kind of interesting to see that just open the season where they're just like, we're just going to tell you who Abby is. Well, we don't really know who she is, more or less, but just
Yeah.
introduce her to the world so early. That was new.
Yeah, which I don't know if was a good idea, because I like that you hate her, and then you start to learn, and then you it makes you challenge your thoughts on her and your views on her, and like, well,
Sure, yeah.
maybe. But I think if you introduce her in the beginning, you're kind of, I don't know, you're already making her sympathetic. Let's have her do the deed first, and then
Yeah.
understand. I kind of like that understanding later. And then you're like, oh shit, maybe she's not the bad guy. But making her not the bad guy from the beginning makes it, I don't know. Just don't know if I like it that version, but I mean, it doesn't change too much, too terrible much, but.
Yeah, there's and it's I don't want to jump ahead because I know we're getting to the moment, but they also make changes within that moment where motivations are given in that moment later in episode two, which we'll get to, which also doesn't happen in the show. You actually don't really know about why
Yeah.
that moment happens until like halfway through the fucking video, 10 hours into the video game. But yeah, there's a lot of changes to Abby.
Yeah, so also in the first episode, things of note is Ellie and Dina kiss at the party, prompting a homophobic slur from bar owner Seth, who we think is just a jerk and a bigot, but he might have a heart of gold. We'll find out. And then Joel pushes him or punches him or something, and that pisses off Ellie. Tells Joel she doesn't need his help, and then he leaves. Also in this episode, infected tendrils begin to enter Jackson through the pipes. This is another new thing in the lore that they did with like tendrils everywhere, and then the infected can sense things from the tendrils. And
It's like they're spies. They're
I
all
mean it's.
spies.
It's already scary enough. They don't need to have this crazy tendril network where, like, somebody steps on one and there's no zombies there. And then it shows zombies a mile away. And then they all start running there. I'm like, that's, I don't know about that. That's too scary, dude. Jesus Christ. Can never be safe, even if there's none of them around. So that's kind of new for the show. Oh yeah, then we have Abby and her friends Nora, Owen, Mel, and Manny, who have all sworn to kill Joel, approach the town from afar. I think that's the last little clip of them seeing the
Yeah,
town
the
or something.
cliffhanger. Yeah.
Yeah. And episode two is through the valley, through the valley, through the valley. Clementine. That's a that's a different zombie game. Sorry.
God damn
Also good.
it.
After taking shelter in a lodge, Abby remains steadfast in her mission to kill Joel. So they're in this lodge, right? And then I think they can see the town, but they see that it's fucking massive. I thought it was going to be a little rickety shack. Like, dude, these guys got towers, they got guards, they got lights, they got dogs, they got snipers. So the whole crew is kind of doubting they'll be able to do it. And I think even, who was it? Who's
I
the
think it's
guy?
Owen wants to convince her to not
Yeah,
go through with that, if I remember right.
Owen's like, well, plan it out and we'll make it happen, but not right this second. And she's like, promise me you have a plan. He's like, I have the beginning of a plan. And then when the other people question him, they're like, what's this plan? Well, the plan is to convince her to turn around.
Yeah. Fuck this.
Yeah. Abby, while scoping Jackson out, accidentally awakens a large horde of infected under the snow. That was a really cool scene.
That was awesome, yeah.
When they're all like frozen and fucked and just kind of hibernating, and then all start coming out. That was really cool. She escapes, saved by Joel, who was on patrol with Dina. So this is a cool moment where he saves her life. And when does she figure out who he is? I think when they're writing, Dina says Joel or something, and she...
I think it's in that moment, which I love this change to the game, because this doesn't happen in the game. In the game, it's Tommy and Joel, but they never say names. But in that moment, when Joel saves Abby, Dina is in a completely separate room, and she hears a commotion, so it makes character sense to say Joel, because she has no idea that he just saved somebody. She just heard a commotion. She walks in, Joel! So when she says Joel in that moment, that's when we get Abby's reaction of like, oh, shit, here he is.
Yeah. I don't remember how it happened in the game. Like, they were in the lodge already or something,
right? Yeah,
they
just introduced themselves, if I remember right.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Oh, no, sorry. Abby... They introduced... Tommy and Joel introduced themselves upon saving. That's why Abby leads them back to the... They introduce themselves during the whole, like, I'm Joel, this is Tommy, you know, let's get out of here. That's how it happens in the game, if I remember right.
Yeah, and I think there was a cool moment where I think Tommy's like, why does it seem like you already know that? Name or something? Because we do. So Abby tells Joel and Dina about the lodge, where they go back to. Then Dina's knocked out by Abby, and she reveals herself to be the daughter of the Firefly doctor, who Joel killed at the hospital. She shoots Joel in the leg, brutally, and beats him. Ow! And that was pretty good. When it that shotgun, and it knocks his legs out, just, ow! Just a half flip onto his chest. That was pretty good. Yeah, then Ellie, at that point, why was she looking for him?
Because they hadn't checked in. She was on patrol with Jesse, and I think that no one's heard from Joel or Dina. So she's just out there looking for him.
Yeah, she's beating Joel with a golf club. Ellie enters the lodge, but is restrained by Abby. It's kind of... I mean, she enters the lodge, and they don't know. And she's like, she has a gun. Seems like someone of her skill could have snuck into that room and popped off a couple of them since they didn't know she was there, but so that doesn't happen. She's forced to watch helplessly as Abby fatally stabs Joel in the neck with the broken golf club's handle, which is a change. She just beats him to death.
She just beats him to death, in the game.
Which... I don't know if it's any better or worse. It's kind of a visual to have that golf club sticking out of him. But it would have been a visual to just beat his face in.
Yeah. Crush his skull in front of her, yeah.
Maybe they thought that was a little too The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Because they did that to someone's face on camera.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty good. Freaking eye popping out and stuff.
So fucked up.
Yeah. Ellie swears to kill Abby, and Abby's group leaves. And I think they wanted to kill the witnesses, some of them. And then one of the group says no or something. Wasn't that a thing?
Well, yeah, come here for them. We came here for Joel. We're not going to kill these people. Just knock them out and go on our way.
Yeah, and then Jackson, during this time, had a big battle, right, with the Horde came. Yeah. And fuck them up. And that doesn't happen in the game.
No.
Does it? No.
No.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun. We get to see Tommy kind of run around and do some hero shit, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool because they had all the battle plans they have about staying inside and going to the roofs. And it was pretty cool to see. Then Ellie, Dina, and Jesse return home with Joel's body. Episode 3, The Path. 3 months later. So Ellie has been like healing for like 3 months? Because she was in like a hospital bed or something.
Yeah.
I don't know why she was that hurt. She just kind of got hit. But I, as emotionally, I guess, I don't know. Dina finally reveals to Ellie that the group who killed Joel, she found out, are members of the Washington Liberation Front, the WLF. Oh, Wolf.
Wolf.
I get it.
Yeah. Clever.
Are based in Seattle. And she's kind of pissed she didn't tell her sooner. She said, if I would have told you any sooner, you would have tried to leave. And I wanted you to be fully healed and ready. So now they're going to propose this mission to the in a town hall meeting to track down the WLF and kill them for doing this to Joel. But the town council rejects the proposal. I liked this scene. It was really cool, all the different things. And then that guy, Seth, I think, who yelled at him in the first episode, makes a really compelling case for why they should go after him.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of takes Ellie by surprise. You could tell she appreciates that in her own way.
Yeah.
But he did offer them a steak sandwich, too.
Yeah.
I thought that was nice.
I think it's going to be nice.
Based off his culinary skills, I think it's going to be nice. You know, it's one of the nicest sandwiches you could have. Yeah. Steak? That's a fancy. Who eats a steak? That's a fancy fucking sandwich, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got a steak on bread with mayonnaise.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, but they vote against it, sadly. Seth, who supported Ellie during the town hall, helps them leave Jackson, gives them some gear, and I think sets up a secret get out or something. And then the following morning, Ellie leaves coffee beans on Joel's grave. That was cool. That wasn't part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a goodbye. And she fucking hates coffee, but knows Joel loves it. Mm-hmm. And coffee, we've established, is very hard to come by.
Yeah.
So, I don't know where she got those beans. Maybe just ones Joel had, but... And then they encounter a group of dead Seraphites, including a young child, the sight of which causes Dina to vomit. Oh, no!
Oh, no!
Jesus Christ!
God! Jesus, man, really? That's, she's seen everything, and that finally tipped her over the... No!
Oh,
not
shit.
After, oh, well, she just had a steak sandwich, and you're going to show her this? Oh. No. I vomited up the steak. Oh, what a waste. What a waste. Should we rinse it off? Anyways. Yeah, and the Seraphites, I think they have a little flashback of, like, that child and, like, the, I don't know if it was the dad or just a leader of the group talking to her. And doing Seraphite stuff. And they make them seem pretty likable in this little scene here. Mm-hmm. That they're just minding their own business and they're kind of persecuted. Yeah, they arrive in Seattle and note the lack of WLF members. So, yeah, Seattle's kind of a dead zone. It's fucked up. And obviously, there's been some fighting between the different factions that were in Seattle. WLF, what's the... The Fireflies, it's the big, like, government, Fedra or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's Fedra, but mostly Seraphites. I think that's mostly the conflict between, that we see is the Wolves and the Seraphites. Scars.
Yeah, Fedra, yeah. Currently, obviously, Fedra and the WLF were a big thing, but it looks like the WLF has pretty much cleared them out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But they do see like a big convoy going through Seattle. So they realize they do have some fucking gear. They have like tanks and like armored vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get to episode 4. Day 1. In 2018, Isaac Dixon kills his Federal Disaster Response Agency squad and switches allegiances to the WLF. And this is Isaac is like the leader of the WLF.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of how it started to really get the WLF big. And that's a really cool scene. Who's that? Had that guy from Drake and Josh?
Oh, had, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It had Josh in it. In he's not in a lot of stuff. He was in that Wolverine's remake, wasn't he? Red Dawn remake. I think that's the last thing I've seen him in a legitimate movie. So that was kind of interesting. I was like, oh, he's going to be in it. That's nice. He got a role. It lasted 5 minutes.
Right, yeah. he tells a very long joke or story slash joke, and that's about it, yeah.
Yeah, of kind of being just an asshole to people and the voters, and there's this a rookie guy. Why do you call him that? And everyone's laughing. Yo, you idiot doesn't know. Then what's that actor's name?
I always forget his name, but I love him every time I see him. He's so good in everything I see. But
from Westworld and from Batman.
Jeffrey Wright is his name.
Yeah. And he's, they call him that because we took away their right to vote. We stripped him of all their rights.
So good.
Yeah. And then, they see some, like, townspeople who have, like, guns and shit. They're like, oh, we shouldn't stop, man. They hate us. No, we're going to stop. Let me talk to him. I can handle this. And he gets out and brings the rookie with him. Which we wonder why he would do that, because he's a rookie, but he does. Talks to the group, and obviously they know who he is. You're Isaac? He's like, yeah. And I don't remember what they say.
Yeah,
like, are you ready?
Either, yeah.
And then anyways, he fucking walks back to the truck, opens the door, throws in a bunch of grenades, locks the door, and then you hear the people, and it blows out. That was pretty fucking brutal.
That's cool.
And then he turns to the rookie and said, well, you're going to have to make a decision now. You coming with us or are you part of the blown up truck brigade? What are we doing here? Yeah, those were bad guys. Okay.
I love this scene because it gives context to a moment in the game. In the game, you arrive in Seattle with Dina and you're kind of riding on horseback. You're, you know, just kind of open world-esque. And one of the things you discover is a truck. And you open the back of the truck and it's just a bunch of dead soldiers and bodies. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of a cool, like, nod to that moment.
Yeah. And then we see Isaac interrogate and kill a Seraphite who refuses to share his group's location. You get to see that he's becoming what he hates. Because, mm-hmm. like, he betrayed the Fedra because they were doing fucked up shit. And now here he is. Heating up pans and telling gross story. You know why this is the best pan? I always wanted one.
Yeah.
Never. Now I have a set. Strange how the world works, isn't it? Good thing about copper is it takes a while to heat up, but it's consistent. Yeah. And then he heats it up. Hold out your hand. Yeah, and he burns him. And the Seraphite kind of doesn't want to hold out his hand. And then he asks him the question after burning him, and he puts the pot back on there. And then the Seraphite kind of gets a little bit of inner strength from Mother, whoever the fuck they're talking to. Now he realizes he's probably going to die, so now he could just be brave about it.
Yeah.
And then he turns around and he's about to ask him to put out his hand again, and the Seraphite already has his hand out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when Isaac knows, okay, well, this isn't going to work. I'm going to have to just kill him.
Yeah.
And then, he shoots him. All the while, we got a... Ellie and Dina's first day, they hide out in a music store where Dina or Ellie serenades Dina. And that's a cool moment. And I think she said, here, I'll make you dinner. Pulls out the beef jerky. Oh, delicious. Oh, yeah. they find several WLF soldiers murdered by the Seraphites. And now they realize Seraphites aren't so good themselves because they're all... Very ritualistic killings. They're all hung up and they cut your guts out and let them just spill. All 30 feet of your guts spilling. And then I think Dina, oh God, not again! No!
Not the beef jerky!
Oh no! Why is it always after we've just ate? Oh my god. Oh no. Oh, my Jack Lynx. Oh god. My Alberto. No. Oh no. Oh boy, I lost all the Alberto. God, teriyaki tastes worse coming up. Should have went with the peppered. God, yeah. And we go from there. They got oh yeah, then the WLF comes in when they're in there and they're all fucking armed to the teeth and like, oh shit, look what they did, those bastards, find them. And then they're both in there like, fuck, and they kind of got to run out. And then they go into like a subway.
Yeah, yeah, with the red light.
Yeah, that was kind of cool scene. And then a horde comes through and they're on the side of the subway car and they have to escape the subway car. On the way out, they're like one of those rotating gates kind of gets stuck and Ellie comes up and saves Dina from getting bit by throwing her arm in front of her. So she gets bit. And then, as they are hiding in the theater, a now heartbroken Dina prepares to shoot Ellie. And she's heartbroken. Ellie doesn't understand. It's kind of funny because she's immune and she just forgets that that's a crazy thing. So she's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
What? She's like, you're acting weird. What's the, why are you acting weird? What's going on here?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, shit, that. You don't have to worry about that. Yeah. That's fine. She's like, listen, I'm going to go to bed, and you're going to go to bed. Keep that gun on me, and I'm going to wake up, and you're going to see I'm fine. Okay? It's going to be fine. And then, she has to explain that she's immune, and finally she wakes up, and Ellie's still fine, so she believes her. And then Dina confesses to Ellie that she is pregnant.
Yeah, it was a weird moment. I don't know how I feel about that, because it was just like they wake up, and yeah, like this overdramatic moment where they kiss and like, I'm pregnant. It just felt like, what the fuck? It was just, I don't know. It felt weird how it was laid out.
I kind of liked it. She explains it later, Dina.
Yeah, when they're laying down, yeah.
Yeah, that the whole life she saw for herself was now over because Ellie was bitten. And in that moment that she realizes she's immune, that whole life comes back. And she realizes that's, it's almost a second chance.
Yeah, yeah.
So she was kind of just, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a kid. No, I'm gonna have a kid. Well, yeah, you. But
I'm gonna be a dad. I think she says, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and they have sex. Ooh. Oh, oh. No. Oh no. Oh no. Yeah, they have sex. Next morning, they overhear the WLF, including Nora, are based at the Lake Hill Hospital. Dina tells Ellie that she still wants to go with her, which is a crazy move because we've seen the firepower and crazy move that Ellie would even allow her to.
Yeah.
Pregnant. Yeah. Move on to episode 5, Feel Her Love. Ellie and Dina encounter more Seraphites. Ellie begins questioning bringing Dina, but Dina reiterates her commitment to their quest for revenge. And she has a really good, like, speech about it. I don't remember much about it, but
yeah,
saying,
yeah,
like, yeah, that, yeah, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Da-da-da-da-da-da. They're ambushed by stalkers in an abandoned warehouse and saved by Jesse.
That was a cool moment. That was one of the cool moments of tension, because it's like, oh, this is the stalker we ran it, or something. They're very sneaky. And she's like, but
oh, yeah.
At that time, it was one of me, one of them. But now I got you with me. Now it's 2 versus 1. And then they start popping out along the room. There's like fucking 6 of them. I thought that was kind of a cool.
There was like 18 of them.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Yeah, I think because I always watch the end. Do you watch the end making of?
No.
It's only like 5 minutes to 10 minutes at the end about each episode. And they're really cool. And it just goes over, and you've already watched it, so it's not a spoiler. And they talk about that scene. And Druckmann's like, we've introduced these before, and now it's them two and 18 of them. What will we do?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so that's pretty cool. Yeah, and then Jesse saves him and is pissed off. And I think fucking Ellie tries kind of back talking him, and he's like, "You think I want to fucking talk to you right now?" And some shit like that. Yeah. Jesse carries. Oh yeah, Dina's shot in the leg with an arrow as they're running away from the WLF to go into the forest, and the WLF doesn't follow them. And then she gets. They're watching a ritualistic killing off in the bushes, and then. Ow! She vomits again. I've been shot!
Oh
This damn morning sickness. Oh, God. Every time I get shot with an arrow, it brings up my sickness. I don't know. It irritates my stomach. Jesse carries her out of the park while Ellie creates a diversion to attract the Seraphites. I don't remember what she did. Just, hey, you guys, over here! Something like that. That was your whole plan, Ellie. Get her. Get her. I love it.
Classic.
Scientific. Yeah, then she continues to the hospital alone, gets Nora, finds Nora, and it's a whole building with all other people in it, but she somehow can get Nora into the basement like alone, because then Nora's running like, "Help! Help!" They're like, "What's going on? Who's she?"
I
Is
did.
that your buddy?
I did like the setup though, because I think the opening of that episode, if I remember right, is these WLF members talking about them going on like a expedition or something within the hospital. They're still like working their way, clearing it out the hospital, and one of the members is like, "Yeah, we went down to basement two or whatever, and it came out. It's in the air now," and it's just like, "Oh shit!" And then we kind of get Nora going into the basement, so we kind of already
Yeah.
established that whatever's down there. The spores. So it's kind of a cool little
Yep.
reveal. That's where we end up.
Yeah, and she's infected by the spores, Nora. And then Ellie goes down there, and Nora realizes Ellie is the immune girl she's heard these stories about that she thought was fake, because no one's heard of an immune girl. But she's standing there breathing and talking to her while she's starting to have a really hard time. And then she realizes who she is and asks if she knows why they did it. And Ellie says, "I know why, and I'm still here to kill you." And that's a pretty cool moment. That for the viewers is the first time we're realizing that Ellie does know that Joel did this, and beats her with a pipe to find Abby's whereabouts. That's a pretty nice one. Bow, bow, and the legs. Ah, my legs! Hit me somewhere else, please! The legs have really, really had
Enough with
it. I think they're.
the
Jeez, I can't even feel it anymore. I've heard of beating a dead horse, but my legs hurt. Anyway.
So good.
I don't remember her telling her any information, though.
No, because I think in the moment we get kind of a close-up of Ellie's face as she's kind of wailing on her, and then we kind of cut to a cool moment where it just cuts to her laying in bed during the day. And she hears like a knock on the door, and she rolls over, and you see Joel open the door. He just says, "Hey, kiddo," and then we cut to black. I thought that was kind of a. I was like, "What the fuck?" And then makes more sense once you get to the next episode, but.
Yeah, episode 6, The Price. It's a flashback episode. Which is pretty cool. Series of flashbacks doing birthdays. So we got the 15th birthday, 16th birthday, and then we do 17,
I think
18,
19.
and 19, up to 19, which is her first patrol, I
Yeah.
think. 15th birthday, homemade guitar with the nice little moth inlay. What's up with the moths? I put one on your guitar for you. What do they symbolize? Rebirth? And he goes and talks to a psychologist. He's like, "They symbolize
That was so good.
death." He's like, "Oh." The guitar, 16th, takes her to an abandoned museum where we get all the cool astronaut stuff from the game. And this scene really establishes how much Joel loves Ellie now. that every year he works on having just an amazing birthday experience and like thoughtful gift. Mm-hmm. Takes her to the museum, lets her shatter open one of the glasses to put on a real astronaut's helmet and sit in the actual Apollo 11 capsule. Mm-hmm. Has a tape of the actual launch for her to put on headphones. And yeah, and then I think he tears up in this episode when he's sitting there watching her.
I think so, yeah.
And then in the making of, said that wasn't in the script, that Pedro just did that feeling so emotional.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, Neil thought it was great. And yeah, then he says, like, did I do good? You know, kind of just wanting the approval of his now daughter. And yeah, she's like, oh, are you kidding me?
You kidding me? Jesus, yeah, of course. Christ.
Yeah. And then, oh, 17th birthday, it says, angrily interrupts a moment of intimacy between Ellie and another girl. I don't know why he angrily, he just came in a room, right? And they were like kissing or something.
Yeah, he comes home with a cake. I think in the 15th birthday, they spell her name wrong, whoever made the cake, and it was kind of a funny little gag. And then we cut to the 17th birthday, and it's spelled right or whatever. And he's walking up to the room to knock, and he hears some commotion, and he's like, what the fuck? And he opens the door, and, you know, it's one of those, like, they were kissing, and they, you know, pull apart real quickly if nothing was happening, and then we kind of just get thrown in, like, oh, you know, you're gay. I just found out you're gay. You have a tattoo now. Like, all of these things just kind of get thrown once. Yeah.
A tattoo?
Yeah.
I just wanted to wear short sleeves again. And what's, I mean, everyone experiments. You're going through a phase.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
She said, it's not a phase. So kind of saying, no, I'm gay and I've been gay.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem too bothered by that, which surprises her, and she appreciates. He's like, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's eat a cake.
I think actually the opposite. I think they have like a tiny little fight, because that causes a fight, and he like leaves. And in the middle of the night, through her like frustration, she wants to move into the garage. Because she's just so mad at him. I just want my own fucking space. And then he wakes up hearing her try to move out in the middle of the night. And he catches her like, what the fuck are you doing? She's like, I'm moving in the garage. And then they start to kind of warm and settle in. He's like, okay, you know, it's not really ready to be lived in right now. But give me a couple days. I'll make it all right. You probably should have your own space. I thought that was kind of a nice touching moment where he kind of stops her and reconnects a little bit. He looks at her tattoo. Oh, that's nice. Oh, okay.
Leaves. Cool. <That's>... Cool. What was that? Poison oak? All right. Yeah. And then we also get the flashback about how Joel killed Eugene. They find him out on patrol and he's been bitten. And you could tell that Ellie likes Eugene a lot. And Ellie promises Eugene that they're going to get him back to say goodbye to his wife, Gail, one last time. And
Joel says, I promise. It's cool. I love this moment because she looks at him and he looks at her, and you know exactly why she's looking at him. She's like, she knows that, hey, if I walk away and you kill this guy, like she's saying, don't kill him when I walk away. And it's just through a look. They don't actually say it. And he just looks around and he says, I promise. And she's like, okay. And then she rides off to get the horses.
Yeah. And then, I think there was a moment too where Joel said something to him that's like, why is it so important for you to say, talk to her again? And he's like, that's not what I need. I need her to talk to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm done. There's nothing I can say to her,
mm-hmm.
but I need her. I'm scared or some shit like that. That was pretty deep.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing I need to say to her. It's. I just want to see her, and you know, yeah. Which, yeah. He. What does he do? You think that he's taking Eugene back to the horses with Ellie, but he instead kind of shepherds him out into this beautiful landscape vista of the mountains and this big lake. And he kind of just knows that as soon as he walks down there, he's like, oh shit, he's just gonna fucking kill me here. Just give me this beautiful view before he shoots me in the head.
Yeah. And then Joel lies to Gale that Eugene chose to kill himself rather than endanger her. Ellie realizes he lied about the fireflies because he said that same swear I promise to her with the same exact conviction, and he lied about it this time. So Ellie now realizes that he lied about the fireflies, and then she tells the truth to Gale that he just killed him. And then, which is fucked up because they're like embracing, they're like hugging right then. And she's like,
Slaps him.
yeah. Yep. 9 months later, after the New Year's Eve dance, Ellie confronts Joel about the actions at the hospital. And yeah, she gives him an ultimatum. If you lie to me again, I will never speak to you again. This will
Yeah,
be it.
we're done. Yeah.
And you could tell that, Joel does not want that to happen, and he just answers everything. Well, truthfully, but I think he's really just nodding his head yes, because he's so emotional
So
in the
good, yeah.
moment. He tearfully confesses to everything, but then admits he has no regrets about his decision. And that's a really powerful moment when she's like, "Why did you do it? Because you're selfish?" He's like, "No, because I love you. And maybe you'll never understand because he knows she's gay. Or maybe you will someday have children of your own and then you'll understand. But I have no regrets and I would do it 1,000 times over." And then she kind of thinks about it, the kid thing and her possibly never having any children and possibly never knowing what a love and sacrifice for a father-daughter relationship looks like. But I think something in there clicks a little bit. And then she says, "I don't think I could ever forgive you." And then you could tell it just kind of hurts his heart. And it's just a super sad moment. But then she says, "But I'd like to try." And then he's like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, this is one deviation from the game that I don't know if I'm on board with because this scene does happen in the game, but the context is completely different. In the game, in the game, there's no Eugene thing, which is when we watch the show, that's why now we know why that Ellie is mad at Joel for such a long time is because of what happened with Eugene. Whereas in the game, Ellie or Joel tells Ellie the truth, long before I think they were still living in Jackson, but it was pretty early on in the Jackson days. She was a little bit younger. So she's had years to like hate him and wrestle with what he did. So that when that moment comes on the porch when she says, I can't forgive you, but I would like to try, that's what she says in the game. It makes more sense in context because she's been mad at him for so long. But her just hearing that in the moment right then and there, and then she, I don't know, it felt a little too quick. Whereas the game, she's had years to ponder what he did and his actions. But in that moment, I don't know, it just felt a little too soon.
I think in the show's defense that she knew all along.
Yeah, and they do that in the game too. Like in the
Yeah, she
game,
just
there's a lot of
kind
stuff
of
in there too.
refused to believe it, but she knew. And then once she had too much proof, it's like, okay, well, now it's definitely she already knew. But yeah, I get the season finale convergence. When Ellie regroups with Dina and Jesse after beating up Nora, reveals to Dina what Joel did at the hospital, prompting Dina to suggest that they return home. So Dina's like, "Oh, well, if that's what happened, fuck, what are we doing? I thought they just brr. They got a point, She's like, "Maybe we should go back, you know?
What the fuck?
I've been vomiting a lot on this trip. I don't. I need to. I left my Tums at home. I gotta go." Ellie and Jesse intercept a WLF radio call about a sniper, and they think it's Tommy. So they go pursuing the the sound of the gunshots. Or Jesse does. And Ellie gets a boat to travel to the nearby aquarium. And I think we had a little scene with that boat floating there that was the, like kind of like our start screen in the game.
Yes.
Didn't they have that? That was kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember if they ever had a shot that was like the start game from the first game with that window.
No, they was just the boat. Until you beat the game, then the background changes. But, yeah, throughout the playthrough, it's just the boat.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the first game was a window, wasn't it? With, like, vines and shit?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I was just wondering if we had that as a shot in the show. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
Okay, gets on the boat, goes to the aquarium. Everyone loves the aquarium. Where she believes Abby to be. Yeah, and Ellie enters the aquarium, finds Owen and a pregnant male. And this is, I believe Owen is the father to this baby. But he's also kind of in a love triangle with Abby, too.
Yeah.
At least in the game. I don't really know if that's happening in the show, because I feel like at this point in the game, Owen has already had sex with Abby, like, on
camera.
Yeah,
their love triangle is a little complicated, because Abby... Well, I don't want to spoil too much about the next season, but yeah, it's a love triangle. There's shenanigans happening, but yeah, that is Owen's kid.
Yeah. Okay. And then what'd she do? Yeah, she confronts them about Abby's whereabouts, and Owen goes for a gun, and Ellie shoots him dead. And the bullet strikes Mel, too. I don't remember how it worked. Just went through him and into her, too?
Yeah.
Because I thought it
was... Got her in her neck, yeah.
Yeah, then she begs Ellie to deliver her baby as she dies. And that's not in the game, I don't
think.
No.
In fact, I don't think she even shoots... what's her name? I already fucking forgot. She definitely shoots Owen, but I think that she stabs... What's her name? In the neck in the game. Ooh. Through, like, a shuffle. Like a. I don't think she does it on purpose. I think it's, like, a self-defense thing, but...
Yeah, it's not on purpose. Of course not. Oh, shit, my bad. Let me take that out for you. Oh, God. Yeah. It's really rushing out.
Because it is a little different in the game, because in the game, you clearly see that she is pregnant, whereas in the show, you don't know until she's pregnant, until she unzips the sweater. But in the game, she's clearly pregnant, so I don't think she's trying to hurt her. I don't remember what happened, but there's a scuffle, and she gets stabbed in the throat.
Yeah. Yeah, then she's like, cut it open and take it out. She's like, no. I don't know how to do that. And doesn't even attempt it. And then,
Tommy and Jesse show up in that moment and get her out of there.
Yeah, they rescue Ellie and return to the theater. And Abby ambushes them, pops Jesse in the head, boom, Jesse's gone. That was a moment in the game, man. I liked Jesse a lot as a character.
Yeah.
And in the show.
In the show, he's good, too, yeah.
I think he's great. So that is a bummer. And then she holds Ellie and Tommy at gunpoint. A gunshot rings out, and we cut to black. And then we show 3 days earlier, Manny wakes up Abby, informing her that Isaac has summoned them.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's kind of a...
Yeah, it was a cool ending, man. She's like... looks like she's in some sort of like bunker, and it's not a bunker, but it looks like that. And she walks out into this hallway, and you're like, "What the fuck?" She opens up a door, and then it looks out on the Is it Lumen's Field in Seattle, where the Seahawks play? And it's just fucking looks like there's army, there's like tanks, there's like hundreds of people, and then that cool like boom, Seattle, boom, day one, and then cut to black to some peaceful Chris Cornell Soundgarden. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Widely regarded to be one of the best video game adaptations of all time, or the best so far. I'd probably say it is. It's not a lot of competition. I can't think of another one even close to this good. So, I guess. I mean, Mario was pretty good, the new movie, but Mario doesn't have like a story. You could have done anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
you can do anything with that. Yeah, same with Sonic. Sonic doesn't really have a story. Yeah. You can kind of do whatever.
Yeah. So, as a whole, I enjoyed this part one of season two. I think I enjoyed season one a little bit more. Maybe just because it was a full, coherent story, and I haven't got the full story yet. But it just felt more concise and had a beginning, middle, and an end that I liked. It's still really good. Yeah, the production value and the acting and the sets. Man, they really did it right. And this is what video game adaptations should always look like. They should always be involving heavily the people who made the fucking source material. And even if you don't let them write or anything, they got to, you know, have some input. Yeah, I thought it was great. It's probably like a season two, part one. It's like an 8.2.
Okay.
It's great.
Ooh, yeah, so many thoughts. I'm mostly negative, I guess. Well, I don't know. This is a tough one, man. Yeah, this is a tough one because the examples of video game adaptations that we just gave, I feel like I don't know. I don't know if I enjoy them more, but it's just like Last of Us is one of my favorite games of all time, both of them. And I know the story very well. Like, I just replayed Last of Us 2 before this season came out, so I'm very familiar with it. But the thing that I can't get over is that video games are already a visual medium, and not only are they a visual medium, like, the thing that video games have over movies and TV shows is that they're interactive. And so I struggled with both season 1 and season 2 of, like, being engrossed in this show because I just feel like they removed the interactivity of the story, and just now it's just I'm passively watching the story and I don't find it as entertaining as playing it. I do like the added additions that help build out the world, and obviously there are stuff in the season and the first season that I enjoyed that I thought really cool, like the Isaac stuff. I thought was really cool. I think the episode with Joel and Ellie with the birthdays, I thought that was probably one of my favorite episodes. But as a whole, I gotta be honest, like, most of the season I kind of just checked out because I know the story, and I'm just all this is really doing is just giving me a live action version of it. And I just don't, for me, I don't think that's enough to me to be like engrossed and entertained by it. Because I know where it's going. A lot of the scenes in the show were like verbatim what happens in the game. So, like the dance party with the kiss, the birthday party with the space shuttle. It's just kind of like, oh, all right, I've already done, like, the only thing you're adding to this is that it's live action. And it's to some people that works, and that's enough to have enjoyment. But for me, I'm just kind of like, and I'll be honest, like, I think episodes 3, 4, and 5, I mostly watched those episodes on my phone. I just had it in the background. That's how much I was invested in the show. And I apologize, if I would have known we were going to watch, I probably would have not done that. I didn't know we were going to review this till a couple days ago. But yeah, I don't know. I just have this weird relationship with it where I feel kind of distant from it and not as engrossed and entertained by it. Even though objectively it's well acted, it's well written, the production design is insane, the action scenes are well done. Like, from a practical standpoint, it hits all the marks. That's a very prestigious HBO show. But like, at the same time, I'm struggling with it being entertaining to me because I'm just like, I've already done this, and you've removed the interactivity part of it, so now I'm just passively watching this thing, and so I just don't find it as entertaining. But, you know, like I said, you know, there's some moments that I like about it, so for me this is just a solid 7. I don't think it's anything better than a 7. It's solid, it's fine. I kind of feel the same way about the season 1. So yeah, I don't know, it's weird, it's a weird space to be in, because this is, I was excited about it, but now the more I watched it, I was just like, okay, it just feels too familiar to me to be entertaining, and I'm engrossed by it. Like, oh my God, I can't wait till the next episode. I'm just kind of like, all right, you know, I'll just put the next one on, I guess.
The opposite. We watch it every Sunday night when it premieres, as it premieres live. And it's an event in our household that we look forward to and we have to do. Yeah, we complained about, you know, Resident Evil and all these people, Uncharted.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give you exactly what you want.
I know. I was thinking
the
about
true
that.
Adaptation, we've and you're like, "Yeah,
we've talked about
this is
times.
Boring."
I mean, I wouldn't say it's boring, but it's just I'm not as engaged. Like if I hadn't played the video
it's
game,
it's too
I'd
passive. It should say turn left or turn right at a certain point. I gotta click a button. It's like Bandersnatch.
I would rather play The Last of Us than just sit there on the couch and watch it. And the, I don't know. It's just the fact that I've played the story twice in its entirety. I just don't think that the show is giving me enough to where it's like I'm engrossed by it. I mean, again, it's fine. I'm giving it a 7. Like, I enjoyed most of it, but it just, a lot of it was just kind of like, whatever, I've already done this. I've already been here, done that. It's like reading a book twice and then going to see the movie and just being like, all right, well, nothing that this movie added didn't really add much. But what they do add is cool. I'm not saying it's not cool. Like some of the stuff that they added, the Jackson fight scene was pretty fun. Some of the changes work a little bit better narratively, but yeah, as far as me being entertained from start to finish, I was kind of in and out. It's kind of a roller coaster. Some episodes are like, this is dope. Some episodes I'm like, okay. So that's kind of where I was with it.
Well, go check it out, everybody, and see if you are not entertained. Okay? Go.
You're not entertained.
Are you not entertained? I'm mildly entertained. I'm good.
I'm in and out. I will say the last two, maybe my problem is, I mean, I just watched the last episode last night, obviously it aired, but I think my biggest problem with the show is episodes 3, 4, and 5. I think episodes 1 and 2 were strong and I was pretty engaged. Episodes 6 and 7, like these last two episodes, I thought were fantastic. But episodes 3, 4, and 5, when they get to Seattle, I don't know. I really just mentally checked out. I just didn't find it to be all that enjoyable. But the beginning and ending I thought were great.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was all pretty good, but we're not that far off. 1.2. Yeah, 8.2 and a 7. Solid all around. Go check it out. It's all out now. You can watch the whole, or at least half, the part one of the season is all out on Max, soon to be HBO Max again.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know, man. What are you guys doing?
Jesus.
What's weird is like when they changed that, I had to get a new app on my television that was Max. It didn't just update HBO Max to be Max. And now that they're going back, I'm wondering, am I going to have to go get that app again?
Yeah.
Are you gonna update this one to now be the same as the old one?
I hope so. Because that was really stupid.
Yeah. I was like, why can't you just update the app and change the name and change everything about it? Why do I need a new app?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing. Yeah. We'll see how this rollout works. But I do think HBO Max is a better name.
Yeah.
Or just call it HBO. You don't even fucking, just HBO, people know.
Yeah. It's stupid.
HBO is a big name in, you know, boxing, movies. They've been around. Like, why would you name it Max instead of HBO? I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, cliffhanger with Abby. It's going to be interesting to see how it all kind of unfolds with the next season with Abby. And I wonder if how many people even understand what happened in that last scene. I mean, I understand that it says Seattle day one, but I bet you a lot of people saw the Seattle day one and said, what the fuck? And just didn't know what it meant. Whereas, like, we've played the game. We know what it means. It means we're just seeing the 3 days in Seattle from Abby's perspective. But I bet you a lot of people are like, huh? And I wonder if how long the gap is between this season, how many people will show up to watch Abby, you know, Abby's season. I don't know. I wish that like this season,
you think it's, I wonder if it's going to be like the game where it's really,
yeah,
it's going to be the Abby this half.
Right. Right. And I'm wondering if it's, the gap between seasons is going to work against it. I don't know, but, despite I'm going to contradict everything I just said about my review of this season, I am a little hyped with the next season because, and I said this
hell
season,
yeah, dude.
And then
I'll give
the next season a 6. Watch. But no, I am a little hyped on this season because I said this in our review and I still stand by it even after playing it a second time, which is the Abby section of the game is my favorite part of the game. Not saying that Abby is a better character. I'm just saying that there are a lot of moments in that second half of the game that are the most memorable moments, in my opinion, of the game, like fighting that giant fucking monster thing in the bottom of the hospital or climbing the sky bridge, the Seraphite Island where the fucking, oh shit, I'm like, sorry. There's a lot of moments
hey guys, you're going to love this.
sorry, I got a little on a hinge there. There's a lot of moments in Abby's portion of the game that obviously being told, yeah. So it's
gonna Ellie's portion of the game, you're just kind of walking around Seattle.
Yeah.
It's a little too open world for me.
Totally.
Yeah. It's kind of, they made Abby's part a little more linear and fun and pushing the story along. But yeah, HBO Max, go check it out. They got season one, they got part of season two until we get season three and maybe even a four. Who knows?
Maybe even a four. Who knows? Yeah.
They might go beyond the game. They have said this, and it's looking like they probably will because it's a lot of success.
Yeah.
So we'll see. That'd be very, very interesting. And then it'll pull you back in, and you can't say, well, I've already done this.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. It literally is something I'm... Because you and I have said it. I'm very aware of how many times I've said that, like, video games should just take the stories of... But now that I've, like, seen it done, like, beautiful... Like you said, probably the best adaptation we've seen from a video game, beat for beat. And my experience with it has just been, like, so partly interested, but mostly not. And it makes me worried for games like Death Stranding and Ghost of Tsushima and God of War. Although I don't know if those are necessarily as narrative driven as Last of Us is. They got pretty strong narratives, but yeah, it makes me want to, like, I just want to watch Fallout. I don't know anything about Fallout. Maybe I can enjoy that one.
That was good, man. Fucking watch it.
That's what I heard.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's... Or maybe I just didn't like, maybe a good, or maybe an adaptation of a game beat for beat can be good and entertaining. And maybe this just wasn't it for me. Who knows? I don't know. It's a weird thing that I'm glad it exists. That's the thing. I'm happy that millions of people who don't play video games get to experience the journey of Joel and Ellie, which is kind of cool.
Go see if you like it. We liked it. 8.2. As always, you can join us here on YouTube. Please like and subscribe, or we got you covered on Apple Music, on Spotify, however you do your listening or watching. We'd like you to do it with us, and we're gonna facilitate that for you. Okay, so come hang out, and until the next piece, peace.
Peace.